Welcome to the Highly Sensitive Healing Podcast, where we meet the joys and challenges of our sensitivity with open minds and hearts to awaken our best highly sensitive selves. Welcome, friends. It's Tanya. And in this bonus episode, I wanted to share with you a story about a recent adventure I had when I decided that I was going to climb a mountain. So I live in the Pacific Northwest outside Seattle, and a couple of weeks ago, my husband John and I took a quick two-day trip down to Oregon just to do a little bit of light hiking and to enjoy the good sunny weather before it changes. Now, we are not avid hikers by any means. We're on the extremely casual side of it, you could say. But after living here for almost 8 years, we've slowly taken it up little by little. On our first day out, I had a few obstacles to overcome on the trails, crossing over a high stream on a fallen log, which was a real challenge because I am sort of afraid of heights, and a few other hurdles that are a little bit more difficult for me because I'm what you call a tiny human. I'm barely 5 feet tall. But my husband John is 6'2", so many of the challenges I face are pretty simple for him. On the second day, even though we were both pretty tired, I really wanted to do a certain hike, and it was a kind of a sharp climb, about 2,500 feet, but it was only a few miles long. But this also meant that it was very steep. Much of it about a 21% grade. John tried to talk me out of it several times because he's always trying to protect me, which I appreciate, but I was really determined to at least try it because it was a gorgeous sunny day with a bright blue sky. It was fairly quiet, only a handful of people around, and the air was so clear you could see for miles, and I really wanted to see if I could do it. So off we went. And almost immediately, I began to struggle. I do have a couple of moderate physical challenges, including chronic foot pain from an injury that will never fully heal. And so John was easily already way ahead of me making his way up. And this is how we usually hike a little ways apart, and we meet up along the way as we go. And so from the start, my thoughts really began to race. And I was asking myself all these questions. Was I making a healthy, disciplined choice? Or was it a reckless decision in order to prove something to myself, prove something to John, or maybe even prove something in some other way to all of the ghosts that lurk and live inside my memories? All these people through my life telling me that I wasn't good enough or that I was too sensitive, that I was weak, that I'm too much of this or that I'm not enough of that. But still, I climbed. Many times along the way, stopping and pausing to catch my breath, to look out over the river, to feel the sun on my face, and also taking some moments to notice a few other people on the trail. There were a few people, probably in their early 20s, who were rushing down from the top. They whizzed past me, leaving puffs of brown dust lingering in the air as really the only sign that they'd passed me at all. They were in a hurry to reach the bottom, to move on to the next thing they had planned for the day. And there were other people passing me on their way up, usually a little bit older, moving steadfast with a confident step, and I could hear their steady tapping, tapping of their poles against the rocky earth, and they were quietly showing me that they weren't new to tackling this unyielding beast of a mountain. So I began to feel even more unsure of myself as I walked up and up, and paused, up and paused. And I kept thinking to myself, I don't belong here. Everyone else here knows exactly what they're doing. They're confident, they're having fun. But I'm the only one that seems to be struggling. You know that voice, the one inside your head that's always there, ready and waiting to pounce and to say all of the mean and critical things to you that you would probably never even say to your worst enemy. But still, I climbed. And then I came around a narrow bend and I saw this colossal tree about halfway up the middle of the trail. And it was so big that either whoever carved this path of the mountain, they left it because it was just too big to move, or maybe out of respect for its age and beauty. And I was really calmed by its presence. and as I came closer, a sense of peace really began to wash over me. And when I finally reached this unmovable force of nature, I stopped this time. Not just pausing to catch my breath, trying to catch up to my husband, but I really stopped to notice and to listen. I heard the rustling leaves of the oak trees, the sound of the ferns rippling across the forest floor, the distant beating wings of a hawk on the hunt, and I heard the steady sway of the evergreens. All of these things the other hikers weren't stopping for, whether they were running or walking. They really seemed to be focused on the destination, not the small or even the big things along the way. I rested my hands now on the massive trunk, and I just took some long, deep breaths, and I could feel my heart rate slow, and my breath became more at ease. And as I stood there, now I heard a different voice, a wiser, untroubled voice, asking me, "Who is it that you're trying to catch up to? Who are you competing against? You'll never be 6 feet tall, so why are you trying to walk like you are? You'll never be 20 again, nor would you want to be. Why are you trying to climb like you are? What if you just gave yourself permission to be here now, in this place, just as you are, without any expectations or judgments?" It makes sense that when we're seeking to connect to the essence of who we really are, that we really often look to nature. The natural world has no pretense. It has no agenda. It has no duplicity. Even though what remains of the natural world bears little resemblance to what once was before millenniums of human interference, we know that in the deepest part of ourselves that this is where our souls are born to be, that we are not separate from nature, but that we are interconnected in every way. As my hands rested on the tree, a lightness came over me. It was as if I was being comforted by an old friend who knew me better than I knew myself. A feeling of being rooted and at home there in that moment, telling me that I was welcome, that I belonged, that I was accepted, that I was loved. And there's been so many times, I could never count how many, when it was all too much. The rejection, the criticism of my family, judgment of friends, the betrayal of broken relationships, the disappointments, the heartaches, the sounds, the smells, the overwhelm, the stress, and especially the loneliness of being a highly sensitive person. And here I was, almost at the end of a steep trail that wasn't meant for me, close to the top of a mountain that I hadn't known at all before today, and yet I felt pure love. I felt acceptance. I felt at peace. And not just because I was challenging myself that day climbing that mountain, but all the millions of steps I had taken to actually get me to that place, to that tree, to that moment of meditation on my journey to my true self. Small steps like finding the strength some days to even get out of bed, to huge leaps like leaving California for Boston all those years ago, to finding the trust and faith to find a loving partner in my husband, to leaving my steady but extremely toxic and harmful job, to follow my dream of sharing yoga and mindfulness in the hope of helping other HSPs like me. Once I reached the top, I took the time to inhale the fresh mountain air, and I was able to exhale a little bit more of my self-doubt. Most of the people that had passed me going up, they were already heading back down now, chasing a greater speed, a greater distance, greater diversions, greater disconnection from this place. John and I stayed up there for a little while, feeling tired but triumphant. But like anything in my life, anything in any of our lives, the feeling of success was short-lived, as I was quickly faced with another, even more difficult challenge. Yes, I had climbed the mountain, but now I had to make my way back down. All the slippery slopes and steep, sharp corners. You know, we hear lots of poetic things about climbing mountains and overcoming obstacles, but we hear about the descent much less often. Sometimes the climb down is easy. Other times it can be even more challenging and frightening than the climb up. This saying, you know, it's all downhill from here, it can mean a couple of things. It can mean it's easy going from here. Often it means the hard part is just beginning. So I began to zigzag my way down with the help of poles, taking my time, but much less aware now of anything around me. And I was hyper-focused on not slipping or losing my balance. I was in a kind of tunnel vision. I was more in tune with my physical self and making cautious and calculated steps, each one, though, filled with more and more emotion and exhaustion. I was no longer filled with sheer determination. Now I needed to be more flexible and open to new ideas and solutions as I navigated each slippery step. My awareness was heightened now in a different way. I silently thanked all the exposed roots and tree trunks who acted as my steps and my helping hands, guiding me along my way down. So now I was inching my way down the last steep slope. I was breathing a little bit easier, with the end finally in sight. But suddenly, in what felt like slow motion, I lost my footing and I fell. I went tumbling and sliding for a couple of feet before I landed with a soft thud. I was alone on the trail, a little bit dazed, but thankfully not really hurt badly, just a few scrapes and bruises. So without any hesitation, I picked myself up and I kept moving. But now I was really shaky. My legs were trembling, really almost uncontrollably. So I was moving with even more caution now. I was holding back some tears. And now another voice came to me. "This isn't the first time you've been knocked down. And you know it won't be the last. Yes, you fell. But on your back. So you could still see the sky above you. You got up and you kept moving. Yes, your legs are aching. But they're still carrying you. Yes, your heart is pounding, but it's still pumping life through your veins." And with this voice in my head, little by little, I reached the bottom of the mountain. When we're highly sensitive, we face so many obstacles. We get knocked down so often, many times by people that we trust and that we love. We feel alone in the world. And there isn't always someone there to pick us up when we fall. I learned a lot that day about how quickly our perspective and awareness can change. And as the day began, it was me versus the mountain. And along my journey, I found that the mountain was actually a friend, silently supporting me every step of the way. And as I made my way down, I discovered that all along the journey was really only about me versus myself. My fears, my self-doubt, my insecurities, and really, truly, little else. And that when I fell, I was able to pick myself up. Confucius said, "Our greatest glory is not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall." So yes, sometimes falling will hurt. It will be really hard to get back up. And it can take time. It can take a lot of energy. And it can feel like you need to pull together everything you have inside of you just to get up again. Sometimes we can do it ourselves, and other times we need help. But no matter what, I know that you can pick yourself up and you can keep going. Because you've done it before. I've done it before. And I believe in you. Thanks for letting me share this story with you. I'd love to connect with you if you've had a similar experience or if you found this story helpful in any way. So please feel free to reach out. I'm sending so much love and peace to wherever you are. Take care of yourself, and I'll see you next time.